You are listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.
So, this is very early in Jesus' ministry, right at the beginning, and he's called two disciples, and now he's, in this instance, he's calling these two other, well, he's going to call them. First, he's kind of preaching, and then Philip says, come and see the one who we think is the Messiah. So I want to talk about that just for a minute here. And we're going to learn a few things as we move into this. So here's a map of the Holy Land. There's Jerusalem right there. Can't miss Jerusalem. The Salt Sea, the Sea of Galilee. So John was baptizing like right around here. That's where Jesus was. And then the first verse says the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. So John's down here, and Jesus gets baptized by John and all that stuff. And then he says the next day he decided to go to Galilee. Well, Galilee is 75 miles away. So already we're getting a hint. And these little things are very important when you read the Bible, because the Bible isn't written like a history book, like we write history books. So John says the next day he went to the Sea of Galilee, but it was not the very next day because it's 75 miles away, right? So we begin to get a sense that John takes a looser hand with the idea of time. And that becomes even more important as we go further through the Bible. So then the next verse says, he found Philip and said to him, follow me. All right? So Philip and Nathanael are friends. Two of his other disciples are Andrew and Peter, who we know are actually from the same area as Philip and Nathanael. And then we have James and John, who are brothers. And so this also, it humanizes our picture of what's going on with Jesus and the call of the disciples. Because when we sort of just read it as a holy text, it's like Jesus is walking around like this. And he kind of mesmerizes people and goes, follow me. And then they get up, yes, Jesus. And that's not the way it happened at all. Some of Jesus' disciples already knew each other. A couple of them were pairs of brothers. These are people who kind of, they hung together. And maybe they hung together because they had a real messianic expectation. Because that's what we find here. As we move through it, verse 45, it says, we've found the one of whom Moses in the law and the prophets also wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so we learned there that these were Hebrew children were educated. And not just in farming. They all had to go to Hebrew school in the synagogues. And they had to learn the basics of their religion and the Torah and stuff. And some would be flagged for further education. But they all had to learn a little bit of that. And so here these guys are, and they know what the Old Testament, the Torah, says, and they're looking for the Messiah, and Philip thinks he has found the Messiah. So he says, come. He says, we found the one of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote. And it's Jesus of Nazareth. Then Nathanael gives us his great line, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So Nazareth is right here. That's Nazareth. Bethsaida is where these guys are from that are talking. And Jesus from Nazareth. And this whole area is like Galilee. Now, this is deceiving. This giant dot. The only reason it's this big is because Jesus was born there. Nazareth was probably settled around 1400 BC, and then it got decimated in the 600 or 700s, maybe the 500s. And then it probably got resettled in the 200s. But that's all from archaeology. There is no mention in the Old Testament of Nazareth at all. Not one. This is a hovel. It probably had 200 to 300 inhabitants. It's a tiny little city. And by the way, was it Philip or Nathanael who said Nathanael is from Bethsaida up here. The Jewish people who live down here think very poorly of the Jewish people who live up here. And then, the Jewish people who live over here think very poorly of the people who live in Nazareth. So Jesus is like several rungs. Jesus' town of birth is like several rungs down the ladder of where anybody would choose to be born. So this Nazareth is a very poor village. It's a small village. They were very observant Jews because they went in a big group to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. You might recall Jesus staying behind in that one story where he stayed behind and his parents didn't realize he wasn't with the group until the end of the night when they tried to set up camp and then Jesus isn't there, which tells you it's a very large group and they're used to traveling together. So this is a really, it's like a kind of a tight-knit community. And there's something else, there's something odd about Nazareth. There's something, I kind of wonder if they aren't, if it isn't like a little group of like super religious people that have kind of got together. Because kind of they all travel together to Jerusalem for Passover, they come back. And then Jesus, later, when he comes and delivers his first sermon in Nazareth, his sermon is about how the Jews are not the only people that God loves. That's what Jesus' sermon is about. He says, you know, they do their reading, and then he gets up and begins to teach. And he says, you know, in the days of Elijah, there was a famine, and the only person who got taken care of was a widow from Sidon, which is up in the second story of this building, Matthew's, which is not a Jew. And he said, you know, there were a lot of lepers in the time of Elijah, but the only one that got healed was Naaman, the Syrian general. And so his point was that God loves everybody, not just the Jewish people. And you know what they did? And this kind of tells you something about them. You remember what they did? They tried to throw him off a cliff. They didn't just say, get out of here. They didn't just say, we don't believe you, go away. They tried to throw him off a cliff. So this is a very passionate, convicted people. Maybe their isolation, they began to get kind of fanatical or whatever, right? So Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip gives us those great words, come and see. And that's where I want to stop, actually. I want to just stay with come and see for a little while. Because that's kind of that's one of those verses that people use to encourage other people to bring people to church and invite them to Christ and just share and spread the Christian faith. Come and see. But I think the question to me is, come and see what? Come and see what? What is it we're inviting people to come and see? And when we start to say, come and see, you know, I got a new watch for Christmas. You all want to see my new watch? Come and see. Come and see my new watch. I have to tell you, though, I mean, just indulge me for 20 seconds. It's an analog face watch, but it's also an electronic activity tracker. But there's no digital things on the face. There's the regular hands, and then there's a little dial that goes from 0 to 100. And in your phone app, you set how many steps that 0 to 100 is. So I have it set to 10,000 steps, because that's how many steps I want to take in a day. And so I can see right now that I've taken about a quarter of the steps that I need to take, 2,500 steps. But it's all analog. I never wanted one of those digital things. So I'm so happy about this. And if you hang out with me at all, if you've hung out with me in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I have said, do you want to see my new watch? Come and see, because I'm really happy and proud about my new watch. So the question is, when Nathaniel says, come and see, what is he talking about? See what? And I think that's where sometimes we get in trouble. And that's what I want to talk about, because a lot of times, like when you get a new watch that you're very happy about, come and see is something you're super proud about. It's like, ooh, this is brand new, this is special, this is wonderful, this is different. And you're super happy about it, it's fresh, and a little bit of pride might come in too. Because if somebody had just given me a regular watch, I probably would be showing it around. So there's a little bit of pride in there too. And so you want to have something to show. Normally when we say, come and see this, we have something amazing to show people. and see my new house. Come and see my new car. Come and see my son's graduation certificate from Harvard or whatever it is. There's kind of a pride there, right? And so when we think of come and see in a church sense, a lot of times we're like, I mean, see what? Come and see people sitting in a plastic chairs in a cafeteria? Is that what we're supposed to invite people to? Come on. But, you know, come and see a building. Come and see a 12-piece band. Come and see all our beautiful families where everybody's fixed and perfect. That's kind of, you know, when you want to invite someone to come and see something, it's like something like that. But that gets in the way. That gets in the way of our spreading the love of Christ throughout the world, because that's not what Jesus says. That's not what this invitation to come and see is about. Now, there's nothing wrong with buildings. We all know a building would be quite useful. There's nothing wrong with a 12-piece band or families whose lives are going well. There's nothing wrong with any of that. And, in fact, many of those are natural outcomes of following Christ in some places and cultures. But those aren't the mark of a disciple of Christ. When you say, come and see, what is it that you want people to see? Jesus told us, thankfully, exactly what the mark of the disciple is. Exactly what people should come and see if that's the invitation to Jesus, to the faith, to church life. Jesus told us exactly what that's supposed to be. And it's not a building, and it's not a band, and it has nothing to do with any of that. He said, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now that's a come and see. Now you can't see it without getting to know people and seeing how they act and stuff. But that's the come and see. Come and see how people love each other. And that's the kind of church we want to be. Come and see how people love each other. It's kind of like, this is what church, I got a little video here, but I think this is kind of what life should be like for Christians. There's no sound because we still have technical problems. I wish there were sound because they're all like, ah! And then they walk forward and hug, and then they go, ah! Disciples of Jesus. See how they love each other. Kind of thing. You do this to people that you really don't like at all. You can treat people this way who kind of rub you the wrong way. Anybody in here have someone who rubs them the wrong way? Come on, it'll feel good, raise your hand. Anybody have someone who rubs them the wrong way? Yes. Okay. We all do. If you didn't raise your hand, you might rub other people wrong. I didn't say that. I did not say that. So I have a friend, Mason, by name, and he was sort of a marginal Buddhist in college. And then he met some people and came to the church where I was growing up. And there was a couple of people who, you might call them sandpaper people. Because they just kind of grate on you a little bit. But what you notice, because it wasn't too hard to see that they were sandpaper people, but he looked at this group of people and he noticed that they loved and accepted these people anyway, even though their personalities were kind of harsh and grating. And he looked at this group of people and he said, they're patient and kind. And he said, but that's different. And guess what? He joined the church. And actually, now he's a pastor. Because he saw what I am saying to you is the real thing to come and see. Come and see people who really love each other and know how to love each other and love each other as a decision of their head, not just when it comes out of their heart. That's what the call of Christ is, to come and see. That's what we want others to see when they come here, or I would like them to see it when they come to any Christian church. Come and see people who choose to treat everyone this way, regardless of how they feel, or regardless of how the other person is acting. Come and see people who are patient, not perfect. Come and see people who are kind, not that they're always kicking it, you know? Come and see people who really value not being envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful. Come and see people who don't insist on their own way. Come and see people who are glad when the truth wins out, even if it's not always the funnest truth to hear. Come and be with people who bear with other people, who believe in other people, who hope for other people and endure with other people. I think that's the come and see. Come and see a place where Jesus' love is the model for our love, and we all grow together in it. Come and see. Not because Jesus has the power to heal, though he does, and sometimes it happens. Not come and see a place where there's no pain, because that doesn't exist. Come and see Jesus and his followers, because he has the power to get inside your heart. He has the power to lift your burdens. He has the power to give you peace. He has the power to reorient your life around love. That's what he came for God to love the world. And then he has the power to guide us into continuing to love. Paul writes that the love of Christ compels us. God treats us this way, so we treat other way. And that's something really worth coming and seeing. Let's take a moment and pray. Father in heaven, forgive us when we get too wrapped up in other things. Not that they're not important. Buildings are important and all these things are important, but you have a path for a church and for each of us individually. And we know that whatever that path is, the core of that path is love. Because that's what you said would be the ultimate mark of your disciples. Help us to grow internally in the trust in your love in our lives. And help that love nurture in us a love for other people. Certainly a heart, a compassion toward other people, but also a love that decides how to treat people like this, even when we're not feeling it. Father, help us grow in love as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey there, Pastor John here. Thanks for listening to the Journey of Life podcast. If you are finding it helpful or uplifting or in some other way of value, do us a favor and your friends a favor and share it with them. You could also help us out by liking it and rating it on iTunes or whatever way you get this podcast delivered to whatever you listen to it on. Again, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.